Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to the Talking Pictures Podcast, broadcasting from sunny Orange County, California. Filmmaker, journalist, and film historian, Paul Booth.
Pictures. I'm your host, Paul Booth, as the intro just said. Well, the intro will be put on soon. It is suiting today that I'm from Hawaii and that I always start the show by saying aloha because the film we're going to discuss today, Seahorses, just played at the Big Island Film Festival. I believe it was 2-3 nights ago, the 24th. And we're going to be joined by director Jason Cartlean. This film has been really making the rounds around the country, Canada, and some other places that Jason's going to share with us. This was a great film that I saw about a year ago, so it's been having a strong run throughout the spring and fall festivals, and it's really cool when you see that happen for filmmakers. Making a film is a very hard thing. It's why we don't bash films on this show. And I don't like when people bash films because it is hard work to be in those trenches. And so today we're going to be joined by a really nice guy. I got to see his film actually through a screener. I was covering Dances with Films, which is coming up again this year at Hollywood and Highland Center at the their 18th year. And I got to see this film through a screener. I wasn't able to attend the theatrical screening, and I was really bummed because when I watched the screener, I was like, wow, this would have been really cool on the big screen, mainly because it's simple. I don't think a movie has to be big and overblown to utilize the screen. I think a tiny, I guess a bad analogy would be an apple, but a beautiful apple can fill up your camera just as much as a field of cotton. And so it's really exciting to have Jason here today, and I see that he's calling in, so just let me take a second here to get him on. Welcome, Jason. Are you with us?
I am with you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate the time, and we appreciate you being here. We know filmmakers have busy schedules, and especially filmmakers who have been trotting around the globe with their wonderful works of art. And enjoying some nice aloha time. Well, I'm glad to hear that you had safe travels.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me. And, it's been pretty frantic the last few months. But I love sharing the film, and I love talking about the film because I want to get the message out, and hopefully people can get to see the work and see the collaboration between myself and my cinematographer and the incredible acting performances by Justine Washberger and Ian Hutton. I think a lot of times the collaborative nature of cinema is you know, takes a back seat to you know, maybe like one person saying, oh, this is my film. But I know that the strength of Seahorse is all the excellent people that contributed to the film.
Oh, yes, definitely. I'm so glad that you said that, because one of the founding reasons that myself and the main co-producer, we decided there's not really podcasts out there that talk about crew. So that's why sometimes we've had and have plans to have crew as guests that tell us about what they do with the lighting or the dolly grip, or because for the people that don't know, whether a film is small, maybe there is just a small crew, whether it's budget or whatever. But when the best example I like to say is when it says Martin Scorsese film, he was not pushing the dolly grip. He was not working the craft services table. He's earned his right to be the genius that he is, but he did not do everything, and he'd be the first to say it. So thank you so much for bringing that up, Jason. I had mentioned before you came on that I had seen this film. I was covering Dances with Films last year, and I wasn't able to make it out to the screening. And one of the PR reps had showed me a screener. And so I was really, really fortunate, because I didn't know, of course, was Dances with Films your premiere?
Yeah, our world premiere was at Dances with Films.
Okay, yeah, so that's what it was that you never know, of course, and having the good fortune to cover these things year-round as a journalist, you never really know. It's the good part and the bad part of you see a film and sometimes you don't ever want to tell anyone about it because that might have been the only time it played. Or you get a great thing like Seahorses, where I saw it a year ago at Dances with Films, and Dances with Films is coming up very soon. And I could tell friends in Hawaii to go check it out a couple days ago. So it was really nice to know that it spread and continued. I do wish that I had seen it on a big screen, even though, not to take anything away from it, it's more of a confined space movie that doesn't doesn't call for a Lawrence of Arabia type cinematography. But without giving anything away, before we get into some of the stories and the things you want to share, Jason, I want to let people know to really put this film on their radar, because just a brief list of what I took here off of Facebook, we had the LA Indie Festival, the Hollywood Reel Indie Festival, the First Glance Festival, the Toronto Indie Festival, the CineGear Film Competition, of course, Dances with Films, which Dances with Films is a very great festival. So to have your premiere there is almost like saying you played three festivals. And then to win Best Picture in Toronto and to pick up awards in Actor, Actress, and Screenplay at the LA Indie Festival. And then you get to travel and take your film to, of course, I mentioned Toronto, but Seattle, Florida to Hawaii.
Yeah.
So that means that you met every corner of this continent and country. What was that like as a filmmaker?
Great. And I mean, I think the other thing too is, part of making sure your film has festival legs, I mean, I think this is good advice for any filmmaker, is once you know you have a good film, and it's kind of a thing where, I mean, I know everyone's film is good in one way or another. And, but I think once you feel that, I feel like, okay, well, there's sort of a groundswell. I'm seeing that festival programmers really like my film. We're winning awards. You know, I want to expose the work of my actors, my cinematographer Basil Moroner. You know, and it's amazing that a kind of a close confined space film would win a cinematography award. But it was kind of a situation where you work so hard on your film for, you know, 2-3 years, and then, you know, it's time to work more and get it out there and be vigilant and get it out to as many film festivals do the research, make sure these festivals are, will be a good experience. And then also once they're at the festivals to support the films and take and enjoy the location. You know, I took my film to Orlando, Florida with Starlight. I brought my film to, Stiff, which, I mean, one of my favorite festival experiences was the Seattle Transmedia Film Festival. And that was like 3 weeks ago. I mean, Big Island was outrageous, the experience. I mean, they literally projected my film out under the stars, you know, in this beautiful outdoor venue, you know, and, you know, I'm like, you know, almost like thinking it's a dream. You know, I'm in Hawaii on the Big Island, you know, sipping a glass of wine, watching my film up there on a huge screen. So, it's also, I think the other thing too is, my first film I have kind of, which is like back in actually 2000, like 15 years ago, did a few festivals, but I was kind of uptight about the way my film was presented. I was, you know, it was my first film. I didn't really enjoy the festival process. This time was a big do-over. You know, it's like, I went swimming with dolphins on the Big Island. I snorkeled. I saw some of the world, you know, and then you interface with, you know, amazing, interesting, talented filmmakers who, you know, we're kind of all kindred spirits. We've labored for so long and now it's time for us to kind of, you know, congratulate each other and kind of enjoy and compare notes. So yeah, there's a great social aspect to meeting first time with Toronto Indie and just connecting with really cool people. And the other thing too is now that social media is, you know, like just sort of our world, these people stay with you and we still communicate and connect, and you can connect with all these, you know, cool people and get involved with their projects. So yeah, it's been a great ride.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And the one thing I wanted to just say real quick about the Big Island, I'm glad that you got to experience that, because on Oahu and Maui, I've seen movies on the beach, and also on Kauai. Actually, I had a short film where they showed it at my college and put it on a screen, and it's really weird. It's almost an indescribable experience with the way the stars are in Hawaii, especially the Big Island. I mean, that's where NASA's main thing is with their telescopes. To have this way of, not to knock Los Angeles or anywhere else, but you just see these stars that are just really show you how we're just so minuscule, and then you get to see your work on this screen, and you have these oceans that are blue and you can see through the water, and it's just so earth-like. So you're getting to have your art experienced in a really, really natural way, which the creation of art is natural. So and to go to these different places that I see here, like Philly and, of course, Toronto. I've only been to Vancouver. I've never been to Toronto. But the social media aspect that you said, I remember years ago when I had a number of films playing festivals, you know, it was business cards. And, you know, we all kind of know that who went through that generation. You never really heard from people that took your business card. and you very seldom called people whose business card you took. So the social media aspect now is such a great tool for every aspect of filmmaking. I mean, we're sitting here, I'm talking into my computer, and you're wherever you're at, and we're discussing your film, and that wouldn't have happened before. So that's a really great point in how that has supported filmmaking. Now, you mentioned Seattle, and you mentioned that great experience in Hawaii. What was the experience in Seattle that stood out for you?
Well, Seattle was great because they were really focused in on what they call transmedia, which is new forms of storytelling. And so they had a really interesting, first of all, it's in one of the coolest parts of Seattle, which is the U District, which is the University of Washington. This beautiful school, this kind of cool kind of Berkeley-esque neighborhood with obviously one of the coolest still alive video stores, Scarecrow Videos there, and great restaurants. And then one of the coolest venues that my film was screened at, called the Grand Illusion Cinema, which is kind of a Seattle institution. And so it was kind of a really cool environment, really cool people put the festival on, who had, sort of everything was in place for a filmmaker to, promote the film in the beginning before the festival, connect with other filmmakers, and really feel the sort of live social media, excitement before, and then the festival delivered, I think that's the other cool thing about festivals is, in the social media aspect is, a year ago, more than a year ago, when I was like ramping up for Dances with Films, I didn't realize it was going to be this education I was going to get in how to promote films, how to promote and myself, how to bring, my ideas and my film, knowledge to play, the ability to basically, okay, I'm going to be at the Big Island Film Festival. Let me try to connect with filmmakers who are going to be going to the Big Island Film Festival. I want to meet, before I meet them, I want to meet them socially in the social media arena. And then I want to talk to people, media, all these other different facets, and just have a presence so people know that I'm going to the Big Island Film Festival. I'm excited to go, and this is Seahorses. So it's kind of a thing where there's the social media experience is just as rich and as important as going to the festival itself. And so that what I really like, I mean, Big Island had that. I just felt that Seattle just had this sort of, they were just dialed in, social media wise. They had like one person dedicated to, doing all the social media stuff. And there was a real cool dynamic that was created before the festival. And then, I mean, it doesn't hurt when we won Best Narrative Feature, it's just icing on the cake when we win the Feature Film Award for at STIFF. So anyway, to me, I don't necessarily have to prove anything. I don't look at the festivals as a competition anymore, because, we've already, we've won our awards. We've been, we've proven ourselves as an excellent film. And I'm really, I'm thrilled. It's so funny. When STIFF came around, I was actually rooting for this great filmmaker, Brian Padian, has a film called The Black Sea. And I was like, I wanted his film to win, it's kind of fun. Because I saw it was great, and he was a great guy, So it's really cool when you could connect with filmmakers, first on a social media level, and you meet them face to face, and they're great people, and you have a great time at a festival.
Well, I mean, that's so perfect, because that's, again, a second thing, and we did not have any, I've met Jason, and I was going to say one of the coolest things about his movie is the promotional poster, but that's just an inside joke between us. his is that these, the thing that filmmakers, I've been fortunate enough to also win 8 or 10 awards and have multiple nominations and do different things with features and shorts, and like you were saying, kind of one of the things is I tell filmmakers it's an achievement to finish a film. To those that are outside the business, or to those that just think you walk in and grab your popcorn on Saturday, sit down, or you go to a festival and you watch a 15-minute short and you just think, oh, these guys just got together on the weekend. It's like, no, these guys maybe didn't sleep for 5 days. These guys maybe had 2 meals, you know, depending on what the budget was. And it's really tough work. So when I go to festivals, I literally commend any film that's being shown, because they have the tenacity to get their vision done, to see their vision through, to not quit when it got tough. I'm so happy for what happened with Seahorses, because when I saw it, I've just been blessed to cover festivals for 5 years. So just the natural of seeing so many films, you can kind of tell in the first 15 minutes, okay, this one's probably going to play 2 or 3 more, or I'm going to see this one in spring and then fall, or fall then spring. So to see something where you're seeing that it got awards, like you were saying, for your actor, for your actress, for your screenplay, for your cinematography, not just when you see those films where it has 8 Best Director winners and no one else gets paid attention to. So it just seems like like we had said, Jason did everything, nobody made anything work. And you had this great cast, and of course, Justine, I had never asked you the timeline on if you had made that, and I won't go off on a tangent about Divergent, but the timeline of, had you made that before or after Divergent?
Oh, no. It was actually before Divergent. It was just a coincidence that her character has the same name. We made Seahorses before Divergent came out, before she shot Divergent. But I remember, you know, talking to Justine, and she gave me a call. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm in Divergent, and my character's name is Lauren. And I was like, wow, that's wild. So it's kind of funny that she shares the same name. But, I mean, obviously, you know, we are a small indie film, and, you know, Divergent, you know, big tentpole, you know, giant, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Popcorn movie.
Yeah, you will recognize her, and you will, and that's what I like, that I had actually just kind of seen Divergent, because I think it had come out right before, if I remember correctly, and I really just wanted to see Divergent because my friend was on the visual effects team, and so it was kind of, I remember when I saw you guys, I thought, Is that the Divergent girl? And that's what I like about indie films. And I always commend every time a director comes on this podcast, even though you're saying that it was done before, and of course you didn't know what Divergent was going to become and has become, but you still weren't relying on just her looks, or relying on that natural talent that a director knows is there, and that we as filmmakers know is there, the way when I was saying in the first 5 minutes, I know if that film's still going to be around a year from now. So to look at this list of Seahorses and to say, well, a year later, it's still playing. It's not a shock, and it's a great thing to share that talent. And it's a big thing that we wanted to have on the show to let people know that, you know, these films they take on lives of their own, and they're not just, you know, the night you see them. They have other things that make them thrive. So like you were saying, in Toronto, you got to meet people, and then you kind of maybe learned from a filmmaker there, and maybe you learned a social media thing, and then you could take that on to Florida. What I was interested in was just the real kind of, I wanted to hear about Cine Gear, because I've never met anyone who's had a film in there.
Well,
could you tell us some about that?
Oh, the interesting thing about that is, well, first of all, I don't think they do features anymore. they have this open call for features, and which is kind of funny because Cine Gear is it's this big, it has a big gear convention, and it's basically held on the Paramount lot, and they screen the films in the screening rooms at the Paramount lot, and basically what they do is they find industry like experts, like cinematographers and people that have worked in the industry for many years, and they screen the films, and they pick three finalists of films that they feel are exemplary, you know. And mainly that's actually more of a technical award, you know, films that they feel like have interesting, you know, cinematography, interesting production design. You know, and you know what? Seahorses has, you know, interesting cinematography and interesting production design, and I feel that it is a film that has a style that's like no other film, and that was what we set out to do. So that, you know, so in some ways, you know, I feel it's great when people, working people in the industry, you know, not just people from festivals, not that they're not great, but people from the industry, you know, say, hey, you know, this is a special film. This is different. And the films that we were, you know, finalists were, you know, much films of much higher budgets. You know, it's kind of fun too when you sit back and you see, you know, I remember on the Big Island sitting there and watching films, you know, in the same venue that were like, you know, I mean, you know, they spent millions of dollars on these films, you know, with big names. And it's great when, you know, where this little ragtag film, you know, is being held, is in the same, on the same bill, you know, it says that you don't necessarily need a huge budget to make something that's entertaining, that's fun, that's passionate. I feel like that's the most important thing, is you have to, you know, make a film that you're passionate about, something you believe in, something you care about. And when I was making Seahorses, I didn't think, oh, I'm going to make a film that's going to be successful in the festival route. I didn't think, oh, I'm going to make a film and I'm going to win, you know, best picture here or best picture there, or, you know, I'm going to find actors and they're going to win awards. And, you know, my thing was, I wanted to make a film that meant something to me. Okay, and that I was strictly and deeply passionate about. It takes a long time to make these films, so you might as well make something you're passionate about, because you'll run out of gas. I mean, making films is about overcoming obstacles, and if you're incredibly passionate about what you believe in, I mean, just like a soldier who's patriotic, you know, he's going to fight much harder than someone who's just
exactly.
getting a soldier of fortune getting. You know, a soldier.
Yeah, we had a
Memorial
Day podcast with a filmmaker who was a soldier who served back in 2003, and he made a film about his experiences over there. And so, yeah, it's definitely
I don't want to belittle, you know, serving for this country, and I feel that that's totally different.
Oh,
I mean,
no, not at all. But
you know,
oh no, yeah, no. It's like, no, but it is like being in the trenches. I'm the first to tell people when, if you make a film, you need people who are willing to metaphorically be down or be hungry or be tired, or, you know, it's not for those who want all their sleep and don't want to miss their favorite show on Thursday night. Now, my main question was, and I do, what I remember liking about this so much is I just love, and there's so few that do it well. You have to really dig back into classic film. There's William Wyler's The Desperate Hours with Humphrey Bogart, and there's The Petrified Forest, also with Humphrey Bogart, from Warner Brothers, and then the two most infamous are, of course, Sidney Lumet's 12 Angry Men and Sidney Lumet's Dog Day Afternoon. And I think I remember, I understand if you don't remember, but I remember when I approached you, and then of course The Breakfast Club, films that can stay in a single location. And without that not ruining the story really in any way, but the artistic vision behind that, is there something that you can share that doesn't mess up the movie or the story, but that you can share where it's like, okay, I have four walls, I don't have eight walls, I don't have, you know, that's where this film, as we've talked about all these awards and this film traveling the world, what we're not mentioning is that this is a film that does something that is, I think, is the hardest thing to do in cinema. I don't think filmmakers can keep some scenes interesting in two rooms, let alone for the amount of time that you want to allow that it's in a room. And I think that's a real hats off to you. And that's why I was so excited to have you on the show and do it, because that's like, you know, top-notch filmmaking. So is there some way that you can share that process with us that's not interrupting with the story of the movie?
Yeah. I don't think it necessarily would give away the story. I mean, we created a couple things. Okay, first of all, my concern was always trying to keep a high production value, and really the only way to keep the production value high when you don't have a lot of money is to try to really, really limit the concept of company moves. And try to keep everything kind of in tight, confined spaces. However, you might say, oh, well, this is a one-location film, but it really isn't. I mean, we actually shot in Anaheim. We shot in what stood in as one location was actually, you know, one practical location, also a sound stage. Also, you know, another separate location. So there were actually four or five different locations. However, the actual image of the film is a one location film. So in some ways it's like a magic trick. You know, it seems like it's one place, but in order for us to light the thing, you know, immaculately, you know, give the film, you know, interesting textures and different things like that, a significant amount of time is takes place in this one bathroom, and the only way to shoot the way we shot it was to shoot it in the studio. So it just also hats off to Roxy Shi, who did an incredible job with producing, what seems like a simple film was actually much more complicated because of, you know, we wanted to enhance the visuals and make the film look, you know, unique. A lot of people do, that's the thing. Oh, well, you want to make a film, you know, want to make an easy film. It's, you know, two people in one room. I just feel that, you know, you need to approach it in a different way. You need to look at it in a different way. You know, filmmakers talk a lot of, at festivals, and, we're always like comparing notes one way or another. And a lot of people ask me about like, wow, you've been to all these, you have all these laurels and all these awards, and how does that happen? I'm like, maybe the film is a little different, maybe the film stands out because it was shot differently. It looks different. I just think that that's an important thing that filmmakers should do. Try not to make your film look like every other film. Invest in production design. Interesting lighting, interesting styles. Have the film make a statement. The reason that the film's called Seahorses, there are seahorses in the film. They're in a tank. We shot the actors like they were tropical fish, and we used black light. We used all sorts of interesting techniques to emphasize that. Am I getting too far?
That's great. That's good. No, we want that. We want to hear those goodies.
I'm flattered. I'm not necessarily compare myself to Sidney Lumet, but I am flattered, and I feel that the one thing that we had as filmmakers, as actors, as collaborators when we're making the film, is everyone was there for the right reason. We all were contributing. Filmmaking is interesting. This is the thing that I always I find so fascinating. A lot of these people, this crew, your camera department, people working makeup, they kind of work they're on the outside of society. They don't really want a real job. A lot of them have tattoos. They're just a little more alternative, whatever. And it's so interesting when people that are, unorthodox style kind of wild people, they all get there 6 a.m, right on time. They're there. They're ready to go. And I always think that's right. So awesome. When our old team of misfits, just all of a sudden, they get together, they're ready to rock. They're not late, they're on time, and they're ready to make some art. And I know that the people that contributed to the film are, proud of the film, and I feel that in some ways there's people that I've worked with that I have inspired to make their own films, and so in the next coming months, I'm sure you'll see some of my collaborators' films that are going to be coming into the film festival circuit. So it's cool to sort of kind of be a teacher in some ways too, when I work with a lot of younger filmmakers. And sort of inspire them when they see, like, oh, look at the quality we got doing this. We can apply these things we learned to another film.
Right. Well, that's another, I'm so glad that you're hitting on all these points, and that we didn't discuss was that I also, as much as podcasts, obviously, first and foremost, are to entertainment, serve, or bring on a guest, but to find something different. But I also wanted there to be an educational aspect, because I feel like, for those of you who don't know Sidney Lumet, which is fine, because if you don't know every filmmaker, to filmmakers, he is Yoda. I don't think there's such thing as Yoda. Sidney Lumet is Yoda, and they CGI'd Yoda to be smaller to not have copyright infringement. But Lumet was, you talked about believing in a story, and every time you saw Lumet talking in interviews or when you read that great book of his, Making Movies, he committed to choices. And I think sometimes that people outside the film business, and it's not in a condescending way, when you see a great film, it's just a huge collective amount of people that are just making a choice and that are sticking by a choice. And I'm not talking when we get into that, you have to fight with Harvey Weinstein or the studio executives. We're talking about the indie films here who are getting up each day and doing their best and are willing to say, hey, you know what? We didn't get that shot yesterday, but we're going to do it this way. And before I go on to the next thing, I want to make sure that we can send people here to www.seahorsesmovie.com. That's all one word, www.seahorsesmovie.com. I also have a question about another festival that you played, but I wanted to, before, to make sure I don't forget, do you have any more screenings or any release details that you can share with us yet?
Well, we're working on distribution. I still have a couple of leads on some other festivals. We're actually screening June 11th. We're going back to the Florida area for a festival called the Rendezvous Film Festival, and that's in the Amelia Islands, and it's near Jacksonville, Florida. It's like Upper Florida. And we're going to be screening there, 5 o'clock, June 11th, I guess, a Thursday.
Okay, because I was going to ask you about that. I was just going to ask about that. Now, I'm just off the top of my head, and I'm sure most people that don't know Florida aren't. If that is near Tampa, please, we can talk, we can share some messages after the show, because I have a buddy who knows a lot of film people around Florida and the Tampa area and works with festivals over there, so we can help get the word out over there. And we're going to be doing a podcast for a festival in Florida called the Skyway Film Festival, and we can figure out a way to get Seahorses mentioned that it's coming to the area, because that's ultimately what this show for me has the host and one of the creators was that film is for everyone. And I think when you live in Los Angeles, you get these microcosms of people that think their film and they like Godard and they like this, or and movies are for everyone. Movies are, they're not mine, they're not Jason's, they're not yours, they're an art form that reached the world, and that's what the fun of this show is that we can have a filmmaker on here who has gotten to take his work to Seattle and Toronto and Hawaii. And I've never been to Toronto, but I've been to Seattle and I've been to Hollywood and I've been to Hawaii and I've been to Florida, and I've had films play in different states. And it's a really interesting, cool experience to have your film and your ideas still be the same, but just like you said, watching it under the stars, make something that's been the same in your head for however long you worked on it, different. Just playing in a different, we're not talking when you do stadium seating or a small room or small festival. And that's the beauty of it, is that film changes with it, and there's more going on than just what's on the screen. And I think people don't usually look at that. They just think it's what's going on the screen, and it's 50% us and it's 50% the movie. And so that's what I remember really enjoying about Seahorses, and I was spending part of the time saying, why didn't I it was literally just a logistic thing that I couldn't get out. I wasn't going to be able to get a train back in time, and I didn't want to be stuck at Hollywood and Highland. But I remember seeing certain things where I was just like, oh, you know, this on a big screen, you know, I hope I get to meet this guy someday and learn a little bit more. Because this was something that, you know, was not meant for my computer screen. So
I was just going to say that you know, touching on this point of like sharing your film with all these different people, and I think that a lot of times, you know, filmmaking is communication, you know, we're telling stories, and we're telling stories for a reason. And we're not talking with our mouth. We're talking with our soul, and we're talking with our heart, and we're sharing those intimate things with other people. And it's, you know, and I think that that's why we're telling a story, you know, with your mouth. We're telling stories with words and pictures and images and other people's talent and, you know, and all this other, you know, all these other, the kaleidoscopic, creative process that is making films. So I think that's what makes, you know, the festival experience special, is you meet people that care about you because they care about your film, and they know you because they know about your film. So it's really in some way, and with Sea Horse is a very personal story that created the film. So I think people see me, you know, they see me in a different light, you know, right when they, if they saw my film and I see me, you know, they know about me a little more than you would know if you had an hour conversation.
Right. No, that's I've only directed one short film, and after about a year that I went back to it, I just thought, you know what, I could just show someone that film and say, you don't need to ask me anything. You know my political views, you know who my friends are, you know who my family is, you know what makes me happy, you know what makes me sad. And that's, like, I'm glad that you touched on that, because that's the power of the film. And that's why I think, as I've been gotten to spend work and discover these great films, it is such a, you know, when you talked about the sharing of a soul, I mean, even when we see these films that we, you know, get upset with at festivals, they've still put something into it. And that's why I've never written a bad review. If I see a film I don't like, I refuse to I don't even talk about it. I won't even tell someone that it was awful, because it is taking from someone's artistic time and what they put into it. And like you said, the community of filmmaking, we're literally all in it. We all got to figure out how to get our budget. We all got to figure out how to get our trustworthy crew and our people that are going to go and show up at Sundance, or at the day we announced that every festival said we got denied. And it's all the same. And that is, to me, is the most beautiful part of filmmaking, is when you meet those filmmakers who don't have to look at you and say, hey, you know what, my film was twice as good as yours, and I picked up 4 of the awards, and, you know, you had the one in the afternoon Wednesday screening, so the programmers probably didn't like it. And they can just look at you and be like, hey, you know, you laid yourself on the field, and I laid myself on the field, so, you know, let's just sit at Starbucks and talk, you know?
Well, no. Here's the thing about festival. I mean, you know, you learn a lot about these festivals, too. Just because your film's programmed in the afternoon and not whatever the glamour Saturday night, it has nothing to do with whether they like your film. Okay, they program it in the festival. There are hundreds, maybe thousands of people that wanted to get in the festival. They selected your film to be in the festival. So, you know, feel honored that your film is screening, because it's such a competitive marketplace. There are so many features out there. There's so many people who submit the film, film festivals. You know, I mean, you get, you know, most festivals get, you know, 500, 800 submissions. You know, I mean, they can't, and a lot of them only program, you know, 5, 7, 10 features. You know, maybe more shorts. I mean, I know from the feature world. I mean, I don't make shorts, but I'm saying it's like you should be happy that they like your film. They like it enough to program it. Now, when it comes to the screenings, yes, there is some preferential issues when it comes to, you know, screening time. Timing. I mean, I remember my first film. I'll never forget this. My very first film, I played this festival in Big Bear Film Festival. And this is back in 2000. I think it was might have been the inaugural year of that festival or what, I don't know. But the night before was this big screen. It was when Almost Famous came out. They screened Almost Famous in this huge cathedral-like theater, 2,000 seats.
Oh, my
and
God.
And then the next day, okay, I got this Saturday night, you know, slot. And I'm like, Saturday night, 8 o'clock. It's the same night as Almost Famous. You know, it was my first film called Pedestrian. And I was excited. You know, they were going to screen it and shoot it on. And I shot that film on real film. You know, it was like old school. And they had programmed a party before, like during my screening. And it was kind of a thing where I showed up and all I saw was like 2,000 empty seats. And I had a couple of actors with me and some friends and, you know, we were just kind of hanging out and I'm like, and then the film started screening. I saw it up there. It was all empty, total empty. And I'm like, I guess I'll just go to the party. You know, so it's kind of a thing where, again, stuff happens. Things happen. I mean, obviously, my experience with Seahorses is a little different, too. And festivals have changed, you know, from, you know, where 15 years ago. But again, things like that do happen. You know, you got to sort of be as cagey and as overcoming obstacles as you are. And you have to do due diligence to, you know, social media, run in stuff to make sure that people know you're on their radar. The one thing at a festival that you can give, the best gift you can possibly give, is yourself, is you showing up and supporting other people's films. And I was at this quandary at Big Island because there were these two great filmmakers and they're cool people and their films were playing exactly at the same time. And I'm like thinking to myself, you know, I want to support both their films. And, you know, they were cool guys and they were really awesome. I'm like, well, you know what? I can't split myself. I gotta pick one, you know, and that was, you know, that's that. But again, even though you're in sexy Hawaii, you know, and there's all these cool things happening and there's parties and, you know, fun, sometimes it's important to just say, I'm going to support this filmmaker because that's the reason why I'm here. I'm here, festival, and I want to support other filmmakers, and in turn, they will support me, you know, if they're cool.
Oh, so. Yes. Yes. The supportive part is I think, is next to, obviously, teamwork and such, is the supporting other filmmakers, because it comes back around, and not in a way that Hollywood has a bad rap for. Is not what you can get out of it, but when you truly support a filmmaker and support their vision, and then they come 2 days later and show up in your film, and that's what I really have been able to have fun doing as a journalist, because you can be talking to a filmmaker and after about 30 seconds, they'll say, do you make films? And it's not me tooting my horn. It's just me going, I know when to leave them alone. I know not to talk to them right before their premiere. And there's these things that filmmakers can, like you said, have a community of support and just stop by and say, hey, you know what, your film starts in 5 minutes, but I'm going to see this instead. And that's a really great thing to do. I know when I met you, we met briefly because you were preparing for a screening, but even in you taking the time to give me a poster personally, I remember thinking this was cool. You didn't say, leave this for Paul. You didn't say, you know, I hope he gets it. Oh, sorry, you didn't get it. I was,
just to touch on that issue of you know, supporting people's films and being aware of people's, you know, all these different things. I think the other thing too is, you know, it's one thing being like a tortured artist and, you know, you made your film and you feel like you've made it or whatever. But I think it's important to you know, when you go to the opening night party, to have a postcard of your film, to talk, you know, to not be shy, to just say hello, try to meet everyone, try to meet everybody in that room. Find out, what are you here for? What's your film? You know, and then sort of, you know, kind of make it fun, make it interesting, because it should be fun. It shouldn't be, you know, torture. It shouldn't be something that you regret, you know. It, festivals are, a gathering of people, and everybody's there for one reason or another. And, it's cool to be, you know, a person that's, you know, part of the tapestry of the film festival.
Right. And I think too, I always say this, it has nothing to do with this episode. We're just in our last 4 minutes, and I always turn over the last next 2 minutes over to whatever you need to promote or mention. But definitely that opening night party thing, that is the best thing you can do, because you never know who you will meet. And if you just do it with the right intention, to have passion and to support other filmmakers, and not be like, oh, I know that film stars such and such, so I'm going to step up to them and try to get that connection. Then that's a really important thing. So as we head into our last 4 minutes here, and you have the next 2 minutes, I want to just give you the chance to have the open floor. If you want to plug, whether it's the next screen or a next project, or just it's your ball game for the next 2 minutes.
Wow, what pressure. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you so much for your friendship and your kind words about Seahorses. That's what makes me keep going and inspires me to keep going and keep doing things, you know. And it was a really cool, Will Chase, the programmer, Stiff, said to me, he's like, you know, I can't wait to see what you do next, and which is really cool. You know, it's just, it feels like, you know, there are people that are cheering for me, and you know, I'm working on a new film, and there might be some familiar faces in that film that you might have seen.
Congratulations.
might have been seen before in my work, and and that's going to be a really interesting piece. I invite people to connect with our film on Facebook, become my Facebook friend. My name is pretty easy to find. It's Jason Kartalian. It's Kartalian. So be my friend. You can get updates on lots of things. Where the film's playing, availability, other projects I'm working on. Follow we're Seahorses Movie on Twitter. So just basically follow the Seahorse. Hopefully it'll be available for everyone to see soon. If it's coming to a city near you, check it out. Especially if you're a filmmaker, I'm sure you'll learn a lot watching it. Because I've been at this for a while, and I'm very pleased the way it turned out. Very proud of the film, and I'm proud I can also illuminate the works of work the collaboration of others as well. So that's about it. I'm excited for the future, I'm also looking in the near future for pushing Seahorses into a couple other cities that I haven't been in yet. So that's the other element. And I'll, so once you're on social media and in my radar, I'm all there. I'll be ready to, present all the different cool things that I have to offer in regards to this film and the future projects I'm working on now.
Well, excellent, and thank you for that, Jason, and thank you for being open to the fans and the supporters, and Talking Pictures wants to thank Jason for joining us today. Again, that's, you can follow it on Facebook or Jason Cartlin. His page will have the updates, or seahorsesmovie.com. And again, we really appreciate you stopping by, and you have a great day as I do my wrap up here. And it was great to talk with you.
Thank you so much, Paul.
And that was Jason joining us. We appreciate his time, and thank you so much for joining us. Aloha.
Thank you for listening to the Talking Pictures Podcast, real conversation and movie-induced inspiration.